All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, I want to read just a couple of verses here. We'll start at the beginning of the psalm, verse 1. And this was a psalm that was written by David for the choir. And in verse 1, David says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day." I want to speak to you this morning from primarily from verse 1. I'm going to refer to a couple of other verses here, but primarily verse 1. And I want to preach a message that I'm going to entitle this morning, Having a Passion for God. Having a Passion for God. You'll notice in verse 1, as the hart. Now, a hart is a deer. All right, just go ahead and tell you that. As the hart, the deer. As a matter of fact, when you look up the word in the dictionary, it will tell you that it is a male deer. So we're talking about a buck, all right? So as the hart, as the deer, as the buck panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now you see, that's a passion right there. That's a passion. David had a passion for God. And I want to speak to you on that subject this morning. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessed word. And I pray that you will bless the word of God to our hearts this morning. Our hearts have already been blessed by the singing and by the baptisms that we've witnessed. What a joy, what a blessing to see folks being obedient and following you in believers' baptism, identifying themselves with you and showing everyone whose team they're on. And Father, I pray now that you will just bless the word of God. May all these things work together to bring us closer to you, and we'll rejoice in your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, there are a lot of folks today who are passionate about a lot of different things. It seems like that we are living in what I guess you'd call a passionate time. Folks are just, they just get passionate about so many things today. And in so many instances, it just controls people. It just gets a hold of them and controls them. I have met folks that are passionate about hunting and fishing, you know, that's all they want to talk about, or all they want to do is just fish and hunt. They just want to be, you know, that's their thing, and they're passionate about it. I have known folks who were passionate about their sports teams, their football team or their soccer team or their baseball team. As a matter of fact, I heard about a preacher down south who was so passionate about baseball, and the older he got, the worse became his obsession with baseball. He couldn't preach a sermon without mentioning baseball. He couldn't make the announcements without some reference to baseball. And there was an old widow lady in his church who passed away. And the family came to him and they said, "Pastor, we'd be honored if you would do the funeral for Mother. We just have one request." And he said, "Well, what's that?" And they said, "Would you please not say anything about baseball?" And he said, "Well, I certainly will do the best that I can. And so the morning of the service came and the church was packed and everybody knew this dear lady. And so they had the special music and the singing and all that. And the pastor got up right on time and he stood before the folks, looked out at them and said, "Folks, here lies old Widder Jones. An old maid she lived, an old maid she died." No, I got that wrong. Let me back up. Okay, I got it. "Here lies Widow Jones, whose life held no terrors. An old maid she lived, an old maid she died. No runs, no hits, and no errors." See, it was worth waiting for, wasn't it? Well, he tried, but he didn't do his best, though, did he? That's for sure. But you know, we live in a world where there are a lot of strong passions towards a great many things today. But how many folks do you know that have a great passion for the Lord? You know, that's something that's faded, hasn't it? That's something that is not certainly what it used to be. In discussing this subject of having a passion for the Lord, the psalmist takes us out to the meadow where he shows us a familiar animal. We're all familiar with the deer around here. As a matter of fact, around dusk, if you get in your car to go anywhere, you better be watching. Around here, there are so many deer, and it's gotten way too crowded to. And the amazing thing is, some of these deer are right here in town. I mean, they're just right in town. You got to be careful. I almost hit one down on Main Street a few years back. Seriously, it ran across the road down there just up from where the old movie theater was, that whatever that thing is now. We used to have Super Church down there. Remember that? And I noticed they did a big article about that, the Arts Center now, Carroll Arts Center, did a big thing about it here recently and went back through the history and no mention of Church the Open Door whatsoever. It's funny how that just missed the story. But we owned that for several years and then sold it when it was about to cave in. So, the kids would get up in the balcony and you could feel the whole thing moving. And so Frank Pomazzano took me down there one day and he said, "Pastor, I think if we get the opportunity, we ought to sell this thing." I said, "Why is that?" He started jumping up and down. And I said, oh, I see. Okay. So we ended up selling it to the Arts Council, to the city or county or somebody. But anyway, no mention of the Church the Open Door. I thought that was hilarious. But a deer ran across the road. See, y'all thought I forgot where I was, didn't you? Nah, I got you. A deer came running right across the road on me down there. So, I mean, this is familiar. We all understand verse 1. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks." And so here is the picture of a deer. And this deer is thirsty. And he is trying his best to find a source of water so that he can quench his thirst. Now, you know, the Middle East is very hot place most of the year. And when it's not a hot place, it's a warm place. But it's also very arid and very dry. And except for the Sea of Galilee area and the Jordan River, there are not a whole lot of freshwater sources that are available. Especially in the hot summer, water was always something that was very difficult to find. So the psalmist asks us to look at the heart, at the deer, and who is thirsty, and he is panting after the water brooks. I can imagine that deer would come to a source, a place that he remembers and a place that he is familiar with, but in the heat of the summer, that spring or that brook has dried up. And so he goes to another, crossing into a rugged terrain, fraught with danger from waiting predators. But there is one passion that is driving that deer, and that is the physical passion of having to have water. Regardless of the dangers, there is the need, the physical need that deer has for water that must be satisfied. So the thirst and the effort that the deer puts into quenching his great thirst is used by the psalmist to picture what should be a great passion in all of us for wanting to know the God of heaven. David was, if you remember, a man of great passions. He is seen throughout his story in the Bible as a fella who sometimes had great difficulty controlling his passions. For example, he could bravely walk out to battle against a giant by the name of Goliath, who has the entire Philistine army behind him, but he could boldly walk out and face Goliath, and then in the next step he could fall flat on his face in his passion for the married Bathsheba. So David was a man who understood this idea of thirst or of passion. And he could weep and be broken when Jonathan, his best friend, died in battle. But also, he could be the man who had so much blood on his hands that God would not allow him to build the temple, the house of God. But now here he is in this psalm, and he is expressing his passion to know the Lord better, to have a passion to know God, and to have a greater and a closer relationship with him. Now, there are three things that I want you to notice with me from verse 1 this morning. First of all, I want you to notice that he had a thirst that was vigorous. Vigorous. I'm saying that because of the word panteth. You know, there are a great many words that David could have used here. There are a lot of words that he could have used. He could have used the word longed for. He could have used the word yearned. There are a lot of words that he could use. But he used the word panteth here. And this is a powerful word. It's a very expressive word. And it means to have a great desire, a great longing, or if you will, a great passion for something. And in this case, it is the deer panting after water, which is an innate passion. It's built into the system. You have it, I have it, we all have to have water in order to survive. And so the idea is this deer is crying out and is seeking for what it wants earnestly. It's not just a, oh, I'm thirsty, I'm going to get a drink here in a little bit. No, it is the driving force in that deer's life. That deer has forgotten about everything else. And right now, that deer's mind is on getting a drink of water. And everything else goes out the window. I read that there are certain types of deer out in the hotter climates, and they will get so thirsty, they will get so desirous of having water that they will go and find the source of water. And some of the trappers and some of the hunters and some of the people that notice these things, I guess, have, while that deer was drinking water, so blind to everything going on around it, it's just focused on what it needs at that moment, that folks have been able to just walk right up behind them and touch them because they are just so focused on getting a drink of water. Well, that's the idea behind this word panteth. And it is crying out. It is seeking for that which it so earnestly has to have. Now think about this, folks. Here's the point, okay? David is not just giving us a lesson on a thirsty deer, all right? He is trying to show us something. And here's what he's trying to show us. What was a physical matter for this deer was a spiritual matter for David. All right. He applied this earthly lesson, this parable. He took this earthly thing that everyone was familiar with and turned it around into a spiritual matter and showed us the need for all of us who know the Lord to have a passion after God. I mean that we want to know him more and more each day. As I said, or as I have said to you in many a sermon in the past, David was not always in the winner's circle. You know, David was a great fella, but he was not always on top. I mean, many times there are several examples in his story where he would listen to his passions, and when he did and succumbed to them, he would do something quite foolish. But with David, here's the thing about David, folks. With David, we always see him coming back to God broken, contrite, humbled, and begging God to forgive him of the sin that he had committed against the Lord. That's what made David such a great person. Now, folks, I am not, and neither is the Lord, condoning sin. But I'm telling you, we're all sinners. All of us are sinners. But by the grace of God, you know, but by the grace of God, there go I. So we need to realize that, listen, when we slip, when we fall, when we sin, notice I said when, because it's going to happen. But when we do sin against God, the key to having a heart after God is to realize what your sin has done to your God and come back in brokenness, repenting of that sin and drawing near to God. Just flip over a couple of Psalms to Psalm 51 for just a moment. This is the Psalm that David wrote after Nathan, the prophet, pointed his finger at his face and said, "Thou art the man." You remember that? When Nathan confronted David about his sin with Bathsheba and with having Uriah, her husband, killed. Now, there's just no other way to put it, folks. David had that man killed. That was wrong. That was awful. The adultery was bad enough. But then on top of that, he has the innocent husband of Bathsheba slaughtered in a battle. And he thought, you know, this will free me. I can marry her now. And nobody will be the wiser. But what he didn't stop to realize is that while nobody else saw him, God saw him. And so God sent Nathan, the prophet, and Nathan rebuked him. And then in Psalm 51, this was David's prayer to the Lord. Look, if you will, at verse 7. He said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." Folks, do you remember when the children of Israel were getting ready to come out of Egypt? And God said to take the hyssop and to strike the doorpost on each side and then on the top, and to make a figure of a cross on it, looking forward to Jesus, our Redeemer, coming. But that's the idea here. Purge me with hyssop. In other words, Lord, I'm broken. I need forgiveness of sin. I need you to forgive me. And so purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You say, oh, that's where that is in the Bible. Yes, this is David's great psalm of repentance to God. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness. You know, when you're away from God, you don't hear joy and gladness, do you? No, you don't. He said that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You see, folks, when you get away from the Lord and you get sin piling up in your life, what happens is you lose your joy. You lose your joy. And man, we need to keep short accounts with God so that the joy of the Lord is there. Listen, folks, what did Nehemiah tell us? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And we need that joy, don't we? So when David realized that he had sinned and that he had broken the heart of God, his own heart was broken, and he came begging for the Lord to forgive him. You know, the truth is, folks, there are not a whole lot of people, Christians today, who show the interest that David had towards God. I mean, we just don't. I don't know why that is today. Well, I do know why that is, because we don't read the Bible. We don't read the Bible. You say, Pastor, I can't believe you say that we don't read the Bible. We don't read the Bible. I'll say it again. You say, well, why would you say that? I would say that because we don't read the Bible. Have you got the point yet? I'm not trying to be unkind. I can be unkind without trying. Amen. Yeah. You folks are sitting in the wrong seat. I mean, they just got baptized and now they're going to get corrupted. Folks, we got to keep those short accounts with God. And stay in your Bible. That Bible will keep you close to God. Man, we need to be in the Bible every day. If you want a heart to know the Lord, then make knowing your Bible your passion. And your passion to know your Bible will give you a passion to know the Lord. It's just that simple. We've got to get ourselves where we have a passion after God. Be passionate about the matter of prayer. Oh, how we ought to pray, but we don't. I think a thirsty soul for God will be in church. Amen. Let that sink in. Now, if you can't say amen, just say, oh me, but say something, would you? Dr. Lee Robertson used to say all the time, three to thrive, three to thrive, three to thrive. In other words, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Three to thrive. Three to thrive. He would say that till you got tired of hearing it, some folks told me. But the truth is, our thirst for the things of God shows up in many areas. And one area is in the matter of church attendance. I've often wondered what is so important on Sunday nights that folks can't come back to church on Sunday night. I've often wondered that. I know I'm weird, all right? But I want to be here. And you know, before I was a pastor, I went to church on Sunday nights. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there. I've often wondered what is so important that folks can't come to church on Sunday night. If we were passionate about coming to church and growing and learning our Bibles, as passionate about that as we are watching 60 Minutes. Is that what people do on Sunday night? Watch 60 Minutes? I don't know why. It's a mainstream media. They're not going to tell you anything you don't know. They're going to tell you a bunch of stuff that's not true. But David said, I want my soul to pant after God. And folks, America needs revival, don't you think? We are in such a desperate need for the people of God to get on fire for the Lord and to get our passion back. Don't forget, the Apostle Peter said, judgment must begin at the house of God. Folks, we must start with ourselves. We can't sit here in an air-conditioned auditorium and then criticize the world because they're not in church. Hey, they're the world. God never anywhere in this Bible tells the world to go to church. But he tells the Christians to go to church. He tells the people of God, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And you can't assemble yourself together with God's people in your living room. I had a lady one time years ago. And she came to church one Sunday and I saw her. I knew her. She had been once, and so I recognized her. Couldn't remember her name, of course. Can't remember my own name half the time. So I walked over and said, oh, it's good to see you. She said, you remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you. You were here a couple years ago. She said, wow, you got a great memory. I said, no, it's just a good guess. And she kind of giggled a little bit, but I was serious. But anyway, I said, if you don't mind my asking, where have you been? She said, I have my own church. I said, oh, okay. Well, I said, you know, you're always welcome here. She said, I know. And so the next Sunday she came back and I walked over and greeted her again. And I said, hey, that's 2 weeks in a row. She kind of smiled and said, yep. Yep, 2 weeks in a row. I think you're going to be seeing more of me. I said, well, good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I said, where have you been going to church? She said, well, I've been attending services on television with Dr. So-and-so. I can't remember which doctor it was now. She said, but I've been attending church with Dr. So-and-so. I said, oh. I said, like that. And I said, well, we're glad to have you. And I turned around and walked away. As I was walking away, she said, wait a minute. And I said, what is it? She said, one of your pastors came to see me when I was in the hospital. I said, really? She said, yeah, one of your staff came. And I said, well, that's awesome. And she said, that impressed me. I said, good. She said, I called the church where I watch on TV. I said, let me guess. They said they'd pray for you, right? She said, yeah. So nobody came to see you from there? No. I said, that's strange, isn't it? She said, yeah, it's really weird. She said, they'll accept my money. Yeah, they sure will. They'll take your money, but they won't come send somebody stand by your bed and pray with you when you're sick. She said, you didn't even know I was in the hospital, did you? I said, no, ma'am, I didn't know. She said, I don't understand how that pastor of yours knew. It was Dr. Grammer, by the way. She said, I don't even understand how that pastor of yours knew. And I smiled and I said, well, I can answer that for you. She said, well, how do you know? I said, the Holy Spirit of God told him. It was the Holy Spirit of God that led him to your bedside to pray for you. She said, well, how do you know that? I said, because he didn't know you either. He didn't know you were in the hospital. But one of our ladies was in the hospital with you in the same room. And she said, that lady went to your church? I said, yeah, she's a member of our church. Now, when Dr. Grammer went in to see her, she was not there. She was having a test run or something. So he just went over and talked to her. She said, well, I've been to your church. And Dr. Grammer said, well, let me pray with you and we'll ask the Lord to help you. So he prayed with her. Lord helped her and she got out of the hospital. Soon as she got better, where do you think she came? Right here. Right here. There's nothing like having a home church, folks. And judgment must begin at the house of God. You know, there's just way too many people that have used COVID as an excuse to stay away from God's house. All right, it's over. All right? It's over. So look at me now. With all the love I can muster, get over it. All right? That's as tender as I'm going to say it. Get over it. Yeah, they're in the restaurants and Weiss and Walmart, Target. Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me. Y'all are just saying, sick them, sick them, sick them. But folks, listen. Think about this now. While America has stopped going to church, our nation is crumbling down around us. I mean, the nation is crumbling down around us. I am so sick of all this transgender stuff. Aren't you? And racism. Everything is racism. No, it's not. But what we're seeing is we've lost our passion for serving the living Savior, and we've got this new passion for serving ourselves. It's all about us. And we need to get us out of the way and get God where He's supposed to be first in our lives. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. All right, that's point one. I got two more. And it's 10 minutes till.
It's 8 minutes.
Lord, be merciful to John. Lord, if you strike him with lightning, the rest of us is going to get hit too, so. Would you behave? All right, so he had a vigorous thirst. Secondly, he had a thirst that was virtuous. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, notice David here speaks of the water brooks. The water brooks, look at that. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. He didn't say the lakes or the ponds. He said the water brooks. You know, the water brooks are the place where the purest of water comes from. It comes right out of the ground. Coming out of the ground and running down the mountains or down the hills. That's without a doubt the cold and the pure and the refreshing water that a deer would seek after. And this is showing us that David had a virtuous thirst for the things of God. If David wanted to be passionate about anything, he wanted to be passionate about the Lord and knowing the Lord in a close walk of fellowship. There are multitudes of people in our world today who have a passion, they have a thirst, but it's for the wrong things. They got a thirst for the bottle or for drugs or for money or for power or for immorality or for popularity or, I mean, there's just a host of other things that will eventually corrupt and destroy. But there are folks who do not want to live for God. I found that out. You know, that surprises me. I can't imagine anybody saying, well, I don't want to live for the Lord. But they do. And I just don't understand that. I don't get it. There are folks who won't come to church here. Now, folks, what I'm telling you now, I'm telling you because of experience. All right? This is not something that I'm making up. This is something that I have experienced. I've been told this. But there are folks who will not come to church here because they do not want to give up their cigarettes. I've had them tell me that. Say, I've been missing you. Well, yeah, I know. Well, what's the problem? You want to know the truth? Yeah, the truth would be good. And I had one lady tell me, she said, Pastor, I feel so guilty sitting there shoulder to shoulder smelling like the bottom of an ashtray. I said, quit. But you know how that goes, don't you? I've dealt with this. I've watched the battles in a lot of people through the years. Battles with their own passions. And I know that what I'm about to tell you is correct. But there are folks who simply don't want to live for God or be faithful and tied in to the church because they don't want to give up their lifestyle. They want to drink their beer. They want to, do their own thing. They want to go to their concerts. They want to, do their dancing and all that other foolishness that people get involved in. And I know for a certainty that there are people who have left other churches who left here and go to other churches in the area because there is no Sunday night service there. And they don't feel guilty. I've actually had people tell me, well, I don't come because you make me feel guilty. I don't make anybody feel, I don't have that authority. I can't make you feel guilty. The devil's lied to you right there. It's not me. Now, the Holy Spirit might, but I'm not. I don't even come in here with that intent. But folks, listen, I want you to understand, I am fussing a little bit. But I just want folks to serve the Lord. That's all I want. I just want you to serve the Lord. You know, this one's going to go over well. There are folks that are left here because they grew up here, raised their kids here, you know. When their kids graduated, when they walked across this platform, they gave me a hug. They thought I walked on water. Yeah. One semester in Bible college. I don't know what Bible, but Bible college. And they come back, and I got two heads. I'm a nut. I'm a fanatic. One of them came back from at Christmas time, 3 months. 3 months. And I said, how's it going? He said, you and I need to talk. What? You and I need to talk. Really? What do we need to talk about? And so I said, here's what you do. Come in and see me this week. So he came in to see me. You know I'm wrong. Yeah. I'm wrong. I said, okay, so what am I wrong about? Well, I'm wrong about music. I'm wrong about drinking. I'm wrong about Calvinism. Hey, I'm not wrong about Calvinism, trust me. Trust me on that. Oh, I was wrong about several different things. And I said, you know, For years, when you grew up here, you remember all those times your mom and dad brought you in to see me because, well, yeah, I remember that. I said, isn't it amazing how you made it? You made it. When we all thought your dad was going to kill you, they brought you in, sat you down in my office, you and I talked. And I explained some things to you. And you sat there and nodded your head and you said, yeah, that makes sense. And now all of a sudden you go 3 months to Bible college and you know more than me? You're right. I'm wrong. By the way, how old are you? Well, I'm 18. Mercy. I don't know where all this, I do know where all this comes from. We got a passion for the wrong things. I want a passion after God, don't you? That's the bottom line, folks. A passion after God. I won't preach this third one, but I'll go ahead and give it to you. He had a thirst that was valuable. Man, you just can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong having a passion for God. God will bless that. Oh, God will bless that. Listen, folks, a thirst for God does not corrupt and it does not destroy. It builds. May God help us to have a passion for Him. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, you know our hearts this morning. Oh, how we need a passion for you. We have passions for everything else under the sun. But where's our passion to know our Savior? Where's our passion for the Word of God? Where's our passion for seeing people saved? Where's our passion for the ministry that you have given us as an opportunity to do for your honor and glory? Where's that passion? Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts this morning. Oh, may the Word of God make a difference in our hearts. We just need a passion for you. As that old deer is running all over the hills of Judea trying to find a source of water. Oh, he's thirsty. That passion is driving his every step. Father, help us to have a passion for you that just drives our every step. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.